Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. In today's episode, we're going to talk about two ways to overcome fear-induced mistakes in your trading and also give some tips on how you can really work on your trading psychology and become a much more disciplined trader. Now, if you haven't done so already, we have a two-week trial membership over on our platform. www.tier1trading.com is where you can go to sign up. Two-week risk-free trial, get on the platform, take some courses, interact with the community, join us in our live sessions, and see if we're the right fit for you. www.tier1trading.com. See you over there. But yeah, we can dig into it here. I've got nothing. I'm on the pound New Zealand trade, and I'm in profit. If I take partial profit, my final target profit is reduced. So again, I think we had this conversation. Did we have this conversation a week ago? Yes. So do you remember what I said about that? So here's the thing. Your final target profit should not be reduced, because if you're planning on taking multiple positions, that's already taken into account. So the reason it seems like your target profit is reduced, because my guess is that you didn't plan on taking multiple targets. Now, are we talking about taking partial profit is different than trade management. So I would start with this question. Why are you taking partial profit, and was the idea to take partial profit at this specific location before you entered the trade? So was it in your plan to take partial profits before you entered the trade? Meaning that it was predetermined, I'm gonna take a profit here and a profit there. Like a target one and a target two, or a target one, target two, and target three. Was that predetermined, or is it now coming up now that you're in the middle of a trade? Boom, boom, boom. Okay, so you can't do that. So that is breaking your rules. So that is breaking your rules. That is going against your trade plan. If you do so, that is a trading mistake. And that is one of the trading mistakes that we call taking profit too early. So you cannot do that. So that answers that question. If you are going to take partial profits, that needs to be determined before the trade happens. So if you're looking at, are you long, short the pound New Zealand? Give me an idea of what you're on. You're long, where at? And what time frame? It's hourly or 4 hour. Definitely fear. Yep. Early profit taking is fear. Moving stops back is fear. Taking stops too early is fear. Not taking targets. That's an interesting one. That's greed. But yeah, fear. Most of our trading mistakes are going to be based off of fear. Yep. And fear comes from two things: lack of preparation and or lack of confidence. That is what breeds fears. If you guys are wondering, fear comes from lack of preparation or lack of confidence. You know, I work with students, college students, and I had a girl who was giving, she's about to graduate, and she had to give this big ending presentation, right? And she's like, I'm so nervous. I'm in this lecture hall. There's going to be hundreds of people staring at me. I'm going to be nervous up there, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, the one thing you shouldn't do, they tell you this. They tell you to picture people naked. Don't do that. That just makes it worse. If there's one thing worse than giving a speech or a presentation in front of 100 people, it is giving a speech and a presentation in front of 100 naked people. So don't do that. That's a lie. But I told her this. The way to combat that fear is do these two things. One, prepare. Rehearse, 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 rehearse. Do it in the mirror. Do it in front of friends. Do it with your mom on the phone, right? Rehearse, 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 rehearse. Two, be confident that you know your content. Right? Be confident. Like, if you know you're right, if you know you're right in your content or whatever you're delivering, then there should be no fear, because you feel, obviously, you're not going to be the smartest person in the room. There's going to be like professors in there, but you're smarter than the majority of people in the room. You are telling them, you are giving them information. Like, you are in control. Now, if you didn't prepare, if you didn't rehearse it, right? You didn't know what topics you were going to cover, what path you were going to take. If you didn't really, if you weren't really sure of what you were presenting on, like maybe you didn't actually study it or learn it. Now you're going to be fearful and nervous because you're like, okay, someone's going to judge me. Someone's going to call me out. Someone's going to ask me a question. So fear comes from, again, confidence, lack of preparation. So we handle those two things. We can combat fear. Same thing in trading, right? Backtesting is going to build confidence, right? Backtesting is going to build a mastery of your strategy, right? If for anyone that's backtested, by the time you've backtested your strategy, do you not know it inside and out? Like, I would, anyone that claims to backtest that doesn't know their strategy inside and out and every single detail out of it hasn't backtested. Because trust me, the amount of reps that you put in, like, even if you backtest once, right? Most of us do it multiple times because we mess up or we have a new idea or it doesn't work. But even if you backtest once, you are going through thousands of scenarios. Like, if you can't tell me you don't know exactly what you need and can see it after thousands of reps, then I you know, maybe you're using an automated backtesting thing, but I would question you. So by the time you've done backtesting, you are a master of your strategy. So you're fully confident in it. Now, there is going to be that, you know, the difference is, you know, the fake numbers, which are backtesting, right? The historical numbers are going to be different than live numbers. The live element of dealing with something at stake is always going to be there. So even if you're a master of your content, right, and you're given this speech, you're still going to be a little bit nervous because you're like, I don't want to stumble over my words. I know the professor is grading me, right? That still is going to be present in the market. I know there's money at stake. Or what if this happens? What if that has the stuff that's out of your control? But experience will handle that. Right? Backtesting is the best starting place you can have to build confidence. And then experience will take over that confidence. So once you've done years and years in the market, now you have live numbers, you have live experiences, you have memories and the lessons to pull off of. That makes up for the backtesting. But same concept. Orsi mentioned this earlier. I don't know if you want to write it in, Orsi. So what type of decision is that? Is that a decision that is based off the rules of our trading plan? Nope. It is an emotional, fear-based decision. And it is one of those emotional decisions that causes traders to get stuck in the boomer buster phase instead of rising to the top 10% trade. And it is a version of self-sabotage. I am an expert in self-sabotage. I've self-sabotaged myself so many times and then never accepted it until I did. But yeah, it is fear. So your decision has nothing to do with technicals, has nothing to do with a trading plan. It has everything to do with this trade was going in my direction. Everything was good when those green candles were being printed. Oh no, we got a rejection candle. I'm up, what, almost 200 pips. I don't want to give it back, so I should just take something. And we can't make those decisions. We can't make those decisions because then we're going to sabotage our trading. And all of a sudden, right, you start taking profit, all of a sudden, your average win goes from this to this. Your average risk, right? Your average loss stays the same, of course, right? Because we never sabotage a loss. If we do sabotage a loss, we make it worse. And all of a sudden, you need to hit at a much higher win percentage in order to get a similar expected result. And the truth is that your win percentage isn't going to fluctuate too much. Like, your win percentage per your strategy, it usually is what it is. It's around, it maybe it floats around the 5 or 10% range, but it is what it is. So the self-sabotage is what kills us. So you can't do it. Now, can you have rules for active trade management? Yes, I think you should. Again, I talked about one of the best ways to improve as a trader once you've already got something that works is to work on either how can I increase my average win and or how can I decrease my average loss. So I think having rules for active trade management, a rule to trail and reduce risk as price is going in your direction, That is certainly not something very helpful as a trader, but it needs to be rules-based. So you can't just trail because you feel like trailing or trail because you're fearful. It needs to be a rules-based way for trailing. That way you're consistent in how you do it. And also that way, again, you don't sabotage yourself, because what will happen is a lot of people will get scared. They'll trail too tight. And what happens when you trail too tight? You don't give the market enough room to breathe. And very rarely is the market going to go straight up to your profit target. It's going to ebb and flow and put you through pain. It's going to make you earn it. So consistency in that, a rules-based trade management, a rules-based trailing stop or move break even is going to be key. Now, if you're someone that is consistently shooting for big targets and you just need the feeling of making something, perhaps consider doing a multiple target selection. It doesn't have to be half and half, right? Maybe if you're trading like a 4-unit, right? Take a quarter off at target one just to make yourself feel happy. Put a little bit of money in your pocket. And then take 3/4 off at your main target. I read up on a trader years ago who did that, who would take a very small portion of his position off very early in the trade just because it gave him peace of mind that there is no way he can lose everything. So his specific biggest fear was, I don't want to lose everything on this trade. So very shortly into the trade, he would take off like a 10th or a 5th or something really small. And once he did that, he found out that he was comfortable in the rest of the trade, because again, his biggest fear wasn't losing, like just losing, it was losing it all. So knowing that he put at least got something back gave him enough confidence and made him comfortable enough to see out the rest of the trade. Weird, doesn't make sense to me. I mean, it makes sense, that wouldn't help me. I'd still be a wreck, emotional wreck, but that's him knowing himself, and it worked for him. So perhaps something like that can help for you, where it's like, hey, I am going to do this two profit target thing, but instead of doing half and half, I'll take a quarter off. A quarter off, so I got something. Then you got to consider stops to be moved to break even. That's a whole different story. But yeah, got to be rules based. Or she said, much of the work of becoming a successful trader seems to be a shift in mindset. 95%. The trading part's easy, man. In comparison, the trading part's not easy either. But the trading part is easy in terms of the mindset. I think it's really easy to continue to tweak something and make adjustments until you find something that works. The actual execution is tough. So again, I think of it like a sport, because my life revolves around sports, right? I'm pretty like you give me an open goal. You give me an open goal just at a random soccer pitch, I'm scoring. 10 times out of 10, 9 times out of 10. The left foot's not too great. You give me an open goal in a 100,000 fan stadium with everyone cheering like a PK, oh man, I'm shanking it. Right? You give me foul shots in an open gym, I'll make 7 out of 10. You give me foul shots at game 7 of the NBA Finals with the crazies and all the pressure on, it's tied up. What? I'll probably make like 3. I will probably airball. I'll probably pee myself. Like, the execution is so different in real life. But in trading, instead of the crazy fans, it's the money. It's the money. The money is what haunts us. It's the loss of money on one shoulder, right? And then it's the greedy guy with the gain of money on the other shoulder, right? The money is so, it has such a great emotional pull on us. I mean, money in general, right? Think about, I don't know how many of you guys have ever been down and out. I've been down and out before, right? Think about how much pressure you feel when you don't know if you can pay a bill. I don't know if you guys have ever been in that situation, but think about how much pressure you feel when, like, you're not sure if you're going to be able to pay a bill. Where that bill is due, or that credit card person is demanding payment, and you don't know if you can cover it. It is boulders on your shoulder. think about how comfortable you feel. Again, if you guys have ever been in this position where you no longer have to worry about paying the bills. I mean, you have to pay them, don't get me wrong, but it's not like you've got it. Maybe you pay them off in advance, first thing in the month. It's this freedom. You're free to operate, right? You don't have to worry about, hey, I can buy my kid ice cream and not have to worry about it. Like, that freedom is amazing. Trading is very, very similar. But as long as we're worrying about the money, that's like worrying about the bill. It has this big pull. It causes us to make irrational decisions. Decisions that we think are right because they give us short-term pleasure, right? Making profit gives us short-term pleasure, but we don't think about the long run, but we're actually sacrificing profit because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. But once you shift it to process over mind or a process over results or process over outcome, it makes life a lot easier because you look at a trade differently. You're no longer worried about winner, loser, money won, money lost. You're looking at execution of plan, execution of plan, execution of plan. And it's a difficult shift to make. It helps being here, Evans, because you're surrounded by like-minded individuals who are all either trying to make that shift or have already made that shift. But it's a very hard shift to make, to stop worrying about the money, because we've been programmed in life to do what? Everything in life is worrying about the money, right? Go to school, get a good job so you can make money. Got to pay for this. It takes money. Netflix subscription takes money. Like everything we do is about money. So it's very hard to change it and make something all of a sudden not about money. Like it's crazy if you think about it. It's the same thing with instant gratification, right? We've been so programmed to become accustomed and used to instant gratification, right? Like my kids, right? Your guys' kids, they're never going to know the pain of like missing a show that comes on at a very specific time, only once a week. And if you miss it, you may have to wait till the next season to watch it again. They're not going to know the pain of that. Like, I need to be in front of my TV at 8 o'clock. And not if not, I got to wait till the fall. Like, everything's on demand. Oh, I want to watch this show? Boom. Click it. Oh, I want to order these pair of sneakers? Okay, Amazon. Doop, 2-day delivery. Boom. It's hard to break that habit. So in trading, instant gratification is the same. Where it's like, okay, I can take profits right now. If I click at a button, profits, boom, did it. Felt good. Ah, drug, right? But what we're doing is we're sacrificing the bigger picture, right? I give my marathon story, right? I ran 2 marathons. First one, I ran it pretty unsmart, right? First marathon, I went out like a madman, right? I was all hyped up, right? Hyped up. I had my hype music on. They had a band playing the Rocky theme song at the beginning. I'm from Philly, so Rocky's our superhero. So I'm all hyped up. There's thousands of people. I'm passing everyone. And it's the first couple miles, right? My plan was I'm supposed to go out in like 9-minute pace. I go out like the first like 5 miles in like 7:30 because I'm rolling. I'm all hyped up. I'm fueling off the souls I'm taking when I'm passing people left and right. And then you know what? At 5 miles, I get tired. And I realize I've got 21 miles left. And all those people I pass in the first 5 miles, they start walking me down over the next 3 hours. They're playing the long game. I was playing the short game. Felt good at the time. It felt good until it felt really, really bad. And by the time it felt really, really bad, it was too late. They were playing the long game. They're giving up a little bit of that short-term good feeling, that short-term drug, knowing that it would pay off big picture. It's very similar to investing, right? If you're in a long-term investment, right? And I tell people all the time, like people, I got my friends who are, a lot of my friends are getting into investment because they follow me on social media and I make it sound cool. So they do these investments like, yeah, Keel, I just bought Tesla or something like that. And it's like, oh man, it's down 2% from where it was yesterday. Should I get out? Or it's up 1% from where it was yesterday. Should I get out? I'm like, dude, like you bought it yesterday. Like, why are you even watching it? Why are you even watching it? Like, why watch it at the end of the year. Like, check it once a year, right? You're a long-term investor, right? Check it at the end of the year. Like, you don't need to watch it, right? So, yeah. Similar. Real quick, some other things that are coming in. That's my brain barrier in trading. Or she says, Evan, have you thought that maybe your strategy goes against your personality? That's important too for confidence. The more in line your strategy, and not for everyone. Everyone's different. Some people are very mechanical. Again, my trading mentor didn't care anything about personality. He was just strictly what makes money. And some people were programmed like that. Nothing wrong with that at all. He was military, so they probably deprogrammed all personality out of him anyway, which makes sense. But yeah, the better something matches your personality, the more likely you are to trust it. Again, and I've got stories of trading strategies that I traded just because they were a printing press of money. And I didn't necessarily agree with what they were, with what I was doing, but I was following the plan. And each time it didn't work, I can feel myself get a little stressed. Like, why did I do that? It was stupid. I knew it was going to go long. This thing told me to go short, and I would lose trust in it. And it's tough to deal with something like that. It's like being in a relationship with someone where you guys disagree on like a core principle. Doesn't matter what that core principle is, but if you disagree on like a core principle in a relationship, it's going to be very hard, because every time that core principle comes up, it's going to bother you, right? Like one of my best friends, his wife, he's getting married soon, his fiance, I guess. They've been together for a long time. He's a money guy, right? He's very good with money. He is great on budgeting. He is extremely disciplined. His wife or fiance knows nothing about money. She is reckless. She is spend it first, make it back later. So she's the type where it's like, I'm going to spend it and then I'll pick up more hours to make it back. He's the type where it's like, let's save it. Let's reduce debt. And then once we reduce debt, then we can take what was needed for that debt and put it into this account. And that could be saved for blah, 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 blah. And it bothers him every time where he'll come home and he'll be like, why is this money missing from this savings account? Oh, I need to buy this. I'll make it back next week. And he's like, he flips out. For me, that's money, financial stuff is a core principle. Like I would not be able to be with her. Like it would bother me. There's no excuse around it. And that relationship wouldn't work, because it would always be something that haunts me inside. So yeah, personality matters. Fizzy says, I have a scoring system for my post-trade review, very important, so I can focus on how well I conducted myself during the trade, wins, losses, etc., go into money management spreadsheet, but it isn't my primary focus. Yeah, grading yourself, I should say, on your trades is key, because that's really the only way you're gonna, without, I mean, so imagine you didn't have this live room, Evans. No one would ever tell you that you were wrong. I guarantee you go on the internet and be like, hey guys, thinking I'm up like 150 pips. I'm thinking about taking profit. What should I do? Yeah, take it, right? I guarantee, if I did a poll question right now on Twitter, hey guys, I'm up 150 pips. Should I take profit? I guarantee 99% is going to come back yes. Not even knowing anything about the situation, right? Take profit. Take your money, right? I had a friend of mine. I got so many stories. A friend of mine yelled at me at a casino. When I played craps. I basically implemented the tier one trading money management position sizing strategy into my crap strategy, and I was up a good amount of money, and like my friend was yelling at me because like you gotta leave the table. I'm like, no, it's like, this is fine, right? So there's no one else that's going to hold us accountable aside from ourselves and your tier one trading members, of course. So you got to hold yourself accountable. You have to be able to grade yourself. And Fitzy, that was the thing that I did, where when I finally accepted that I was the problem, that's exactly what I did. It was during my winter period of kind of review and self-evaluation and self-reflection. And I had the great idea. I said, hey, I'm gonna go back over all my trades for the year. And I did two things. I graded myself on the trade, but I did the A-B test between like what I did and what it would have looked like if I didn't do what I did. And that was the biggest eye-opener for me, because I realized how many times I broke my rules, one. But I also realized, I finally saw like how much it cost me. I think the combination of those two things were big. Where one, I'm like, man, I knew I was breaking, like, you know when you're breaking rules, right? We all know when we're doing something bad. I didn't know I was doing it that much. I didn't know I was doing it that much. So I realized, like, man, I am a habitual rule breaker. Like, this is bad. And then I saw the monetary side of it. And I'm like, mother, boop, right? I could have made this much. And that's when it hit me. That's when I finally accepted that it was me. I also ran out of things to blame at the time. You know, I ran out. I had a list of people and things I can blame, and I ran out. In fact, I started signing up with new brokers just so I can blame them. Anything to shift blame from myself. But yeah, I think that's a great idea. And that evaluation doesn't have to be too difficult, right? You can grade yourself on all aspects of the trade, right? You can grade yourself on the analysis, the execution, the active trade management. You can write down feelings. I like to write down feelings. That sounded weird. I like to write down feelings. Come on, what type of man are you, Akil? I like to write down my feelings during the trade. As I executed Pound Yen, I felt a tingle in my heart. Something tugged on the cockles of my heart. Was it fear? Might have been. Was it greed? Potentially. Later in the trade, I found out it was fear. As price hovered 3 pips around my stop loss, I found myself getting anxious. I said, no, Akil, you shouldn't exit this trade early. But I couldn't contain myself. I had to. I had to stop myself all out. It was the only way to avoid maximum loss. 3 hours later, the trade reversed and went in my intended direction, giving me my would-be victory. But because I had exited out of the trade, I got nothing. Nothing but regrets. June 23rd. It starts off like that, and then like later on, dear diary, I suck. Please help. Awesome podcast. Love to end things with a little bit of humor. If you have any other tips that you personally use in your trading, feel free to let me know. I'm available on social media at Akil Stokes RTM, over on Facebook, over on Twitter, over on Instagram, TikTok as well, but I'm not sure if you can message over there. Still new to the platform, but don't be afraid. Follow me on social media at Akil Stokes RTM. Hit me up if you have any questions. I do read, I do respond, I do love to interact.